is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Today we discuss the southern or southeastern security situation. From the beginning of this year, there have been various reports about the southeastern part of Nigeria expressing or experiencing a spate of attacks on security forces, which authorities attribute to members of the indigenous people of Biafra, rightly or wrongly. That's been the position of the government. So, on the heels of the attacks on security officials and facilities witnessed in the southeast and south-south zones earlier this year, President Muhammadu Buhari in May 2021 approved new security measures for both regions. Sequel to the approval, the federal government had blamed an outlawed secessionist group, IPOB, for dozens of attacks that left police officers and other security operatives killed in both regions, as disclosed by the Acting Inspector General of Police, Usman Baba Alkali. Now, according to the Acting Inspector General of Police, Usman Baba, who took over from that time from Muhammad Adamu in February 2021, said the National Security Council outlined they approved some measures that will change, according to him, that will change the narrative in the southeast, south-south, within the quickest possible means. How has that fared? How has that, the measure, how is it going? That's our conversation today, and we'll primarily focus on the security situation in the southeast. Now, let me give you some timeline, especially things that happened in the southeast. Gunmen set ablaze the country home of a chieftain of APC and the chairman of Lagos State Wharf Landing Fee Collecting Authority, Joe Igbokwe, who is based there in Lagos. That event is quite recent. They set ablaze the house of Chu Okongwu, one-time Minister of Finance. September 19, INEC office in an Ogu local government area of Enugu State was set ablaze. It was the 12th office of the electoral umpire that has been raised following a recent trend of targeted attacks in the southeast in 2021 alone. 12th. In May, the commission's headquarters in Enugu was burnt down 3 days after another office in Obilioafor Udeno local government area of the state was raised. INEC had earlier warned that repeated attacks on its offices will affect its preparations for the 2023 general elections. On September 30, gunmen set ablaze Ajali Divisional Police Headquarters in Orumba North local government area of the state, killing 3 police officers. Now, last month, Friday, 17 September, Igbo youth leaders and stakeholders resolved to ensure a lasting peace, stability, and security within the Southeast in general. This was contained in a communique issued at the end of an emergency Southeast Youth Leaders and Stakeholders Convention on Security and Stability of the region held in Enugu. And the list goes on and on and on. But I have a stakeholder from the southeastern part of the country in the studio with me here. His name is Everest Ozonweke. He's a spokesperson of Ohanaeze Ndigbo in Lagos. He's a secretary of Ohanaeze Ndigbo in Lagos here. He joins me live in the studio. Mr. Everest, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sharif. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you. I'm going to start with a meeting that the governors and elders of the Southeast had yesterday.
Yes.
And they said that the IPOB sit at home order must stop. And they're saying that people that gave this order in their statement that I read are not even in the country. They're also saying that they will talk to the central government to see that if they can appeal to the central government to listen to the people of the Southeast. My question to you, first and foremost, is what's your reaction to that statement put out? Are you in any way encouraged, inspired by that statement put out by the governors of the Southeast and the elders there?
Well, Sheriff, the only thing that can inspire us at this moment is when the governors match their words with actions. So far, I would have said that they have shown leadership. summoning up that emergency meeting, okay, and looking into the you know, the precarious condition we found ourselves in the Southeast, and coming up with these resolutions or the communique. Well, to some quarters, they're looking at the communique as not being complete on itself. But to me, what I've outlined, if it can be matched with actions,
okay,
we have headway. When we say people should ignore the sit at home order, that people should go out.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking, nobody wants to sit at home on Mondays. Everybody wants to go out. But when you go out on Monday and found out that you're on your own, there is no security, then you'll be forced to sit at home. But I'm commending the governors for the action taken so far. I would encourage them to make sure that they match their word with action.
What is the position of Ohanaeze Ndigbo? I know that you are not the general spokesperson for Ohanaeze Ndigbo.
Exactly.
But what is the position of Ohanaeze Ndigbo on the happenings in the Southeast?
We are not happy with what is going on. Ohanaeze Ndigbo was well represented at the meeting they had. Our PG and some other national officers of Ohanaeze were there at the meeting, and they submitted a report on, you know, the crisis to the governor's forum, which the governor said they're going to study. The position of Ohanaeze is that we shouldn't bring war to our doorsteps. You know, there's a saying in Igbo language that Oyebulu wanne yaburo dogu, one that kills his brother wouldn't say that he's a champion. Champion over what? You know, we have been under siege.
Are you saying that Igbos are killing themselves?
I am not saying that Igbos are killing themselves. But Nigerians are killing themselves to a large extent. So let me not just point it down to Igbos.
Okay.
There have been a lot of accusation and counter-accusation and denials over whom the unknown gunmen are. The IPOBs are saying that they have cancelled the sit-at-home orders. They have come out publicly to say that the unknown gunman has nothing to do with IPOB and the ESNs. So the question now is, whom are the unknown gunmen?
Who are they?
Who are they? So now it's left to the hands of the security.
Mr. Everest, please hold on. What do you mean by it's left in the hands of security agencies? How about the people of the Southeast? Why is nobody saying anything as to the identity of these boys who will attack shop owners, business owners, once they open up their shops? Still today, it's still back and forth as to who exactly is responsible for the mayhem in the South. Why is it so difficult?
I say it is left to the hand of the securities. And why I say that is this. When you go out on the street, or when you go to the social media to talk, and by that submissions, you end up putting yourself and your families in danger. You wouldn't be encouraged to do more. You just talk about Mr. Joey Bukwe, whose house was invaded, or whose house was set ablaze.
That's right.
What caused that? Probably because the kind of releases we've been witnessing coming from him,
so
level of condemnation from him. So you know, there is a lot of apprehension in the Southeast already.
So people are not talking because they are afraid
of their safety.
Exactly. So it's not that we don't know these people.
It's not that we don't know. The governors, mind you, they have their daily briefings of security situations across board. And based on such informations, they must have a link.
Okay.
They must have a connection.
They must have a direct connection.
Yes. But when we have security that is going to assure the people, not by words, but by being there for them. Listen, Igbos, we don't wait for government to provide for us. We build our hospitals. We build our roads. We build our schools. We've been built police stations. We build our courtrooms, you know, to make sure that our zone, you know, remains the best.
Developed.
We have this program of trying to bring industrialize the Southeast zones. We want the Southeast zone to be what California is for Americans. We want the Southeast Zone to be what Hamburg is for Germany.
Mm.
You know, but we can't achieve anything without having security.
Mm.
We can't achieve anything in a hostile environment.
Have the elders lost their voices in this attempt to call these our sons to order? Why haven't the elders, I mean, they are elders, why haven't they been able to call them to order?
The elders have not lost their voices. But I must tell you, what is going on in the Southeast now is a carryover time. It doesn't just start today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
systematically, mm-hmm, it keeps, like, you know, having...
It's been brewing. It's been brewing
gradually, mm-hmm, until we get to where we are today. The height of it is where we are.
Who is in control in the Southeast? These boys or government?
Honestly speaking, I must tell you that we have strangers in our spaces in the Southeast.
How do you mean?
And yeah, strangers in our spaces when the freedom of the people have been kept in check. The people cannot express their freedom any longer. So we have a total strangers on our spaces in the Southeast.
How do you mean?
How I mean is that you're asking who is in charge.
Yes.
To us, we have democratically elected governors in the Southeast.
Okay.
We have our local government chairmen in the Southeast.
Okay.
We have our town union, you know, our members. We have our market organization structures in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
But then it looks as if we have lost our voices. It looks as if nobody is talking. It looks as if nobody is doing anything, because total strangers are on our space. They have invaded us. Our freedom have been trampled upon.
Mm.
So who is in charge? To some school of thought,
yeah,
the governors is in charge. They ought to be in charge. They are the number one citizens of the state.
Mm.
But in terms of what is happening, what we are seeing,
that's right,
and the feedbacks that is going all over.
Mm.
You know, the governors mentioned our brothers in the diaspora who are not with us here.
That's right.
You know, so...
Are they the strangers?
Ah, well, they are not the strangers. I didn't say they are the strangers. Identifying...
You know, you mentioned something earlier on, Mr. Everest, that it's not that you don't know these people. It's just that people are afraid to speak out because of their own safety.
Exactly, yeah.
And now you're saying that these people are strangers. I mean, I'm trying to reconcile those two things that you said.
Yes, they are strangers because they are not part of what we're doing. It is not our culture to kill our brothers. It is not part of our culture to destroy our properties.
Hmm.
The sanctity of human life in Southeast have always been sacred.
Hmm.
But it's no more sacred to us today. So they are total strangers. To so many people, they don't understand what is going on.
Hmm.
So the best for me to use is just they are total strangers.
It's also
being called it on unknown gunmen.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
So it depends on the phrase you.
Do you think they're unknown gunmen?
I can say yes, they are unknown. To the fact that nobody have established their identity, but at the other side, they are still within our space. They are within. Look at what is happening in Imo State.
Mm.
Okay, the correctional center in Imo State was broken.
That's right.
And prisoners was let loose,
mm-hmm,
and we say they are unknown gunmen.
Mm.
You see, nobody will protest such an act over 24 hours.
Mm.
These are people that wine and dine with us, you know, in different places, and carrying out their actions. So, you know, they remain unknown because of the factors which I have just mentioned.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But if we have security,
right,
listen, nobody in the South will want Southeast to be on turmoil.
Hmm.
We want Southeast where, you know, when you're thinking about holidays outside Lagos State or Abuja, looking at Imo State.
You go to the Southeast.
You want to go to Imo
That's
State
right.
and relax and enjoy yourself.
That's right.
You want to go to Enugu
right.
and relax and enjoy
That's
yourself.
Right.
And a lot of financial exchange goes on in terms of revenue generation. For
businesses will boom, people
booms.
Will make more money.
So nobody will want to have the kind of siege we're into in the Southeast.
Right.
Okay. So I'm placing everything in the hands of the security.
Okay.
I'm placing everything in the hands of the governors.
Mm.
The Nigerian police, for instance, the Commission of Police just yesterday, the IGP just changed the police commissioner for Enugu State.
Yes.
For Anambra State.
For Anambra.
Just to enforce, you know,
just to restore order.
To restore order, exactly.
Mm.
And look at we're already in October.
Mm-hmm.
November is here and December is here. And, you know, on this Ember month, is a heightened, we have heightened level of insecurities, you know, coming up. So there is a need for us to fortify our security architectures in the southeast.
Right. Yes. Right.
We have the soldiers already on the street, which was launched yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
The Operation Golden Dawn in the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Let
me come to you with this. And by the way, if you're just joining us, you're welcome. It's a Morning Crossfire. I have Mr. Everest Ozonweke, the publicity secretary. Secretary, Abby.
Exactly. Secretary of Anezendigbo.
Yeah, the Secretary of Anezendigbo in Lagos State, here with me in the studio this morning. And we'll be talking about the security situation in the Southeast in general. We've said quite a lot this morning already. So feel free to join the conversation this morning if you want. But would try and take a break right now. You can watch on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can watch there as well. We'll go on a break right now. But when we return, we'll try to take some messages and your calls. So stay with us. And by the way, when we return from the break as well, we'll be announcing the winners, the lucky winners of the treasure hunt. 10K each for those two. Stay with us here on Nigeria Info. We'll go on a break. And we have a lot more issues to talk about concerning the security situation in the Southeast. I'll be right back. I'm Sharif Quadri. Chief Everest, let's continue with our conversation. Again, thank you so much for coming out this early morning to have this conversation with me this morning. Let's start this round with, we have talked a lot, but let's track back a little and look at the causes of all of this. This is ugly. This is bad for everybody. But what could have caused it?
Yes, it is quite important that we diagnose the cause of this crisis that we're having in the Southeast. The Southeast have been so militarized in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We've been crying over this. If you're driving down to the east from Lagos, for instance, the moment you exit the Redeem, you take to Sagamu end.
Yeah, yeah.
The level of roadblocks you will encounter, the hardship you go through in the hands of security checkpoints on the express.
Tell people to calm down. Everybody, passengers,
everybody, calm down. Your vehicular papers and what have you. And if you drive from Lagos to Abuja, and you compare the two experiences, you'll be wondering. Do we have two Nigerians? Do we have a special love for some set of people? You know, when you go through such, just driving home, going to your home, those who are there to have protect you are now subjecting you to a kind of a torture. It's not good. And over and over, we've complained about it. It is still there. The level of checkpoints we have going down to the southeast. Now, what is the cause of these agitations? Well, it is failure of governance. The total failure of governance that have led to the number of agitations that we have across Nigeria and in the southeast. The southeast own is quite pathetic because the failure of governance is there. But level of marginalization that we have experienced in the Southeast is quite disheartening. We found ourselves in a nation where merit have been subjected to the background over ethnicity and religion. When you want to take your words want to get into secondary school, teacher in education, universities.
Yeah.
You look at the cutoff marks. There are some special cutoff marks for those coming from the southeast. There are some special cutoff marks for those coming from other zones, mostly in the north. And when it is time for employment, you don't use the same methodology in employing those who, you know, they are more educated, those whom went through higher marks. And we're looking at the merit. So merit is no more considered in who is where in Nigeria. But ethnicity and religion is considered. Look at what is happening even in Europe and America. Nigerians are excelling there. We have Nigeria, we have in London, we have mayors who are from Nigerians.
Right.
What they're looking at is merit. So for us here, you spend your time going to school, acquire education and what have you, only end up being working under somebody who is not your level in terms of your educational background, only because you are coming from a section of the country. So these are the causes of what we are seeing today. And until the government have the will to start to address these issues,
right?
You know, we wouldn't get it right.
What's your thought about zoning the presidency to the east, southeast?
Yeah, to some large extent, zoning the presidency to the southeast is going to calm some nerves. It's going to change the narratives. Because it's like saying the ball is now on your court. So let us see the best use you can make of it. And I don't see Igbo presidency, but I'm seeing a president of Nigeria from the southeast representing Nigeria. And making sure that you uphold the tenancy of merit over who and what you are.
What would you say are the chances of someone from the Southeast extraction becoming a president, especially against the backdrop of what is currently happening right now in the Southeast?
Yes, their chances are there. And we have to be sincere to ourselves in terms of fairness, equity, and justice. The agitation or the clamor for Southeast presidency is not out of place. And we, the elders and stakeholders, are going through strategic engagement with our brothers from other parts. Southeast cannot make it alone.
That's right.
To the presidency.
That's right.
We must bring other components that makes up Nigeria.
That's right.
You know, to be on the same page with us. And together, we're going to make Nigeria great again. There must be a change, a positive and fundamental change. We must change our concept, our ideology,
right,
in doing things. You know, I remember when Goodluck Jonathan was there.
Okay.
He built so many Armajiri schools in the north.
Yes, he did.
Our level of education in the north need to be improved. Need to be improved outside what we have today. When you have more educated people, our value, the concept of value becomes different. The human capital. The highest, greatest investment anybody can make is investing in humans. That's right. Human capital investment.
That's right.
That means you are building a nation.
You know.
So, and the Igbo presidency, the chances are there. Okay. We're discussing with our brothers. Okay. The Southern Nigerian leaders, Forum are doing everything humanly possible to make sure that we achieve that.
What happens if the major political parties in this country, you know them, I don't have to mention them, at the end of the day, don't zone their presidency to the southeast?
Well, I wouldn't say what will happen. But one thing I'm sure of is that that agitation will still be there. There will be nothing to fall back to, honestly speaking. So people are going to react based on their own understanding.
There will be reactions.
Of course, there will be reactions. But that doesn't mean that Nigeria will come to an end.
Okay.
Nigeria is still our Nigeria. And I believe that the Southeastern presidency is going to do us good as one nation. Let it be everybody feel that we belong to this entity called Nigeria. And the Southeastern presidency is one of the things that can make some section of this country feel that they belong to the, you know, entity called Nigeria.
Do you believe in Biafra?
I believe in the Biafra of consciousness. I believe in the Biafra of the mind. Nobody is against Biafra.
Okay.
But what some people are against is the modus of operandi, some of our brothers going about the issue of Biafra.
Hmm.
Today, those who fought the war would say, never again.
Hmm.
Are we going to see our children dying of kwashiorkor?
Hmm.
Never again are we going to see millions of Igbos dying in a war that many don't know the cause. So the Biafra of the mind is that Biafra that want to improve where we are.
Hmm.
Not Biafra that goes about carrying guns. Not the Biafra of war, but right. Biafra of the mind.
All right. We're going to go to the telephone and take a few calls. Let's take a few calls this morning. And we'll come back and talk about the Anambra election before we go. I think we're almost out of time. But let's do this very quickly. 0700-993-993-993. Female only line is 01465-7190. If you're listening from the abroad, you can call us on Skype. Our Skype ID is Nigeria Info FM on Skype. Nigeria Info FM. If you're calling me, please go straight to the point. I can see your messages on WhatsApp. I'll take them in a moment. Like right now, we are processing our first call. While we do that, let me take this message from WhatsApp. Emeka from Lekki says, there was a time under Dr. Nwodo, when IPOB was always smashing Ohaneze. These days, Ohaneze seems to be in bed with them. Ask him why. He's saying that whether you're in... So you're laughing, Chief.
Yes, I have to. I have to, honestly, because if you follow activities that led to the election of Professor George Obiozo as the President General of Ohaneze, at a point, some people came and said that he's a northern candidate that it was imposed to Ohaneze from the north. So, you know, people have their divergent views over issues.
Yeah. But please hold on, Chief. Let me speak with John. John's in the bed. Like, he's been on the line for some time. John, morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Good morning. Good
morning to you, John.
All right. Good morning to the guests in the studio.
Good morning, John.
All right. What I want to point out, there are a few things I want to point out. Let me see how we'll give other chance to contribute as well. I learned that some Igbo had been released.
Some what?
Which was also arrested in a outside country. Now, some Nnamdi Kanu was arrested. And then the Yoruba and their elders gathered around, some Igbo was released. Then Nnamdi Kanu was arrested. These Southeast leaders, we are busy talking about election. We are busy talking about Yoruba. They didn't talk about Nnamdi Kanu. And they said they want to stop the sit-at-home order. And they know that it was the arrest of Nnamdi Kanu, the injustice arrest of Nnamdi Kanu, that prompted the sit-at-home order. And they were saying that they don't even make mention of it in their eight-point agenda. You see? So these people that are claiming that they are leading us, they are the problem. Where they have come up to issue their statement, let us see what the IPOB will do. Because the IPOB, they're listening. Every Igbo man listening to the IPOB. All these people you see that are gathered and said together, they don't listen to them. Just within this week, you will see what will happen.
Hmm.
So, and again...
Just a bit. Hold on. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
I just wanted to correct something. That Sunday Igbo has not been released.
Did you
hear me? I said Sunday Igbo has not been released.
He says he has not been released.
No, he hasn't been released.
Make your findings, Sheriff. You'll find out.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to speak with Esse. After Esse, then I'll come to you, Chief. Esse, morning to you. Oh, Esse is gone. Let me come to you, Chief. You were talking about the question about Professor George being tagged a northern candidate.
During that election.
Yes.
And we are blessed.
Are you in bed with IPOB?
We are not in bed with IPOB. But at the same time, he said it that they are our children, they are our sons.
Mm.
And he cannot deny. No father will ever deny his children, but will always correct and correct. Mm. Talking about Nnamdi Kanu, of course, Nnamdi Kanu is a factor
okay,
in everything that is being said about this agitation. And if you can remember, at the first court sitting,
yeah,
where he was supposed to be at the court, Ohanaeze sent their lawyers.
Mm.
Ohanaeze sent a delegation led by the former governor of Anambra State, okay, you know, Ezife, you know, His Excellency Okwadike Ezife was there.
Mm.
Barrister Godi Uwazulike was there as a lawyer representing Ohanaeze.
Mm.
And after that, he made a world press conference.
Mm-hmm.
So we are concerned about what is happening to Nnamdi Kanu.
Mm.
And we are not leaving it loose.
Okay.
Don't forget too that when he was held in captive,
yeah,
it was still Ohanaeze who brought in people,
mm,
that went for his release. Ina Beribe, then Ikekwe Mada and Co.
That's right.
And Nyawodo played a great role too,
mm,
to make sure that he's released.
Mm.
So we are not in bed with them, but at the same time, we are the same Igbos, we are the same Biafra.
Let me take this call. Hello, good morning to you. Hello, can you hear me? I'm sorry, I can't hear you for some reason. Let me see. Can you hear me now? Hello? Oh, I can't hear you. For some weird reasons, we have these calls that are coming in on Skype, but I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Let me go to the telephone and take one call while we wait for that to be sorted. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Thank yes,
Special. Nice
yes,
to be with you.
Thank
this
you.
This is Uche from Ikeja.
Welcome, Uche.
God bless. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Go on, please. Go on.
Okay. I want to speak with the chief. I want to ask the chief questions because, you know, when we are talking, please, something is ringing from your background.
Yes, that's what I want to stop. Okay. All right. Go on now.
So, when we are talking of solving problems, why do we always start from the top instead of from the bottom?
Hmm.
When you want to fix a thing, that is the problem generally in Nigeria. We tend to, you know, what they are trying to do now, you see people are agitating like yesterday, Chief Abelibe was talking that there are different kind of groups. Don't attack everybody IPOB.
Mm.
But if you check what they are agitating for, it's almost the same thing. Why don't we try to solve the problem that caused the agitation rather than bringing army to suppress the people?
Mm.
You know, we protest here in Lagos. People say, oh, it's not only protest that is the solution. Why don't you think of something else? And if IPOB was able to think of something else to say sit at home,
yeah,
now people are saying, no, it's not good to sit at home. What else do you want a citizen to do to tell you that this thing you are doing is unfair? Now they kidnapped Nnamdi Kanu because that is not arrest. It's just that everybody is afraid of saying it, that it's kidnapping. So now you went to court, they didn't bring your son. You go back home and wait till the day they will bring your son. When you said you were working for them to release him, when they released him, they came to your land to assassinate him. Nobody talk about that anymore. If Azumi was there at that time, what will you say? Now,
thank you.
Now, bring
thank you for your thought. Well, this is not about Nnamdi Kanu. I would just allow you to go. Thank you so much. We're having a bigger conversation. If what we're talking about is not really important to you, if it's just that man that is important, Nnamdi Kanu, that is important to you, then you may not want to call this conversation. I'm afraid I'll have to be very blunt with you. A bigger conversation that could boomerang and you know, cause a very serious trouble for everybody. And that's what we're having this morning. Let's see who's here. Good morning to you. Welcome back to the show. I think we have somebody joining us from the abroad, Star Silva. That's what I'm seeing here. Star Silva, how are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Shalif.
Thank you for holding the line. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Chief a question, but unfortunately that Chief is no more in the studio.
No, Chief is here. Chief is here.
Yeah. Okay, Chief, what are the Igbo leaders doing about the sit at home? I can see that they issue an order to stop the sit at home. But with my findings, and you know, sometimes we hear news more than your people.
Hmm.
With my findings, I am now see that the sit at home, it can be stopped, to be honest.
Hmm. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dakar, Senegal.
In Senegal, okay. All right.
Yeah, Star Silva, thank you so much.
Yeah.
What we are doing to stop the sit at home, we've been doing so much.
Okay.
And of course, somebody said, why should we bring in the soldiers or armies instead of solving the problem that we're bringing in? These are measures. And bringing in soldiers, bringing in police and what have you at the moment. It's not that they're going to shoot anybody, but to make sure that they maintain life and property. You know, they make sure that they look out for those criminals.
What did the last caller from Senegal was trying to say is that it seems as though this is not in the hands of this, even the security operators. This is because the people don't feel safe. They don't trust anybody. They'd rather they stay at home than to go out there hoping that somebody will protect them in the end. They're on their. You said it yourself from the beginning.
Yes, that's why this conversation is important.
Yeah.
Informations. Mm. He said they hear much information more than others that are here. Mm. And the governors, too, during their yesterday meeting, pointed, I wouldn't say accusing finger, to our brothers in the diaspora. That some of them are actually igniting what is happening at home based on kind of news they bring on the social media space.
Right.
So we are doing so much. Mm. And I know by next week, we're going to have a change narrative.
I want to, we need to leave now, but I would like for you to give a parting word to our brothers who are listening to us right now.
Yes.
Let's see what we can get out of this conversation at the end of the day. I want you to address them directly.
Yes, our brothers should know there is no place like home. There is nowhere you can enjoy a maximum freedom than in your own homes. And when that home is put in shambles, remember, we have this concept that we are being chased away from the outside. How are we going to be chasing ourselves away from our own homes? Where are we going to call our homes? If we bring down the Southeast today, where else are we going to call our home? Where else are we going to even call the Biafran land? If all of Biafra is insurgency, if all of Biafra is tyrannic, you know, leadership. So we should please make sure that we have peace. Make sure that we give peace a chance. Our children missed the exams during the last WAEC examinations. The WAEC is saying they're going to give them second chance to take that exam. But the question now is, are we going to give them second chance, our own selves, that they're going to go out and take the exams? What happens if that exam comes up on Monday? Are they going to suffer the same fate? And peradventure they miss out totally in the examination. That means they'll have 1 year to stay because of sit-at-home orders. There is a need for us to have a retrospective thinking. There is a need for us to think before we take some certain actions. Nnamdi Kanu is a factor in what we're discussing.
Right.
There are channels through which we should also reach to him. And that discussion channel is what have been opened. He wouldn't go to court without a representative from Ohanaeze, from Igbo stakeholders. He is our son. The only difference could be in the modus operandi. Please let us honor the sanctity of human life in Igbo land.
Chief Everest Ozonwoke, the Secretary Ohanaeze Ndigbo, Lagos, thank you so much for joining me on the program today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Sheriff. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Lagos, that's our show today. Thank you all for being a part of it. I'll be on your radio again 5 a.m. tomorrow. In the meantime, it'll be time after the news at the top of the hour to join Jimmy Lisu on Daily Digest. Congratulations to the two winners on the Treasure Hunt. The Treasure Hunt will happen again on What's Up Lagos. That's between 10 and 12. You should watch out for that as well. Good morning to you, Lagos.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.